RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
For a different take. This is Hometown Take with Dylan Matthews. Every morning starting at 5, we give you the latest local Atlanta news. Sports news doesn't stop, and we're here to get you caught up on the latest Atlanta sports news and more.
The Hometown Take is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Dylan.
What's going on, everybody? It is your boy Dylan Matthews live in the Kia Studios giving you the Hometown Take. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game. Make sure you follow myself at _ Dylan Matthews. Good Thursday morning to you. I hope you are doing well. I hope you are getting yourself through the week. We almost there, y'all. We almost to a Friday. So just keep on pushing. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters, all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early gym goers as well, getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. Shout out to all my people listening to bed too, because I know you're out there. Shout out to all my folks as well, already at work, already on the way to work. Salute to you. I'm right there with you. But anyway, you are listening, I appreciate you. Make sure you download the free Odyssey app as well so you can listen to me on the go, anytime, any place, anywhere. It don't even matter where you're listening or how you're listening, as long as you got that free Odyssey app. So download it right now and then listen to me, because we have to talk about day three of SEC Media Days. And I definitely have to talk about what Alabama offensive tackle J.C. Latham had to say during his media sessions yesterday, because he gave us some spicy meatballs. He gave us some spicy sound bites, and you already know we about to play some right now for you. First thing I want to get to, he talked about if Georgia is the new standard. If he thinks Georgia is the new standard of college football, because we heard David Pollack on ESPN during the national championship game while Nick Saban was sitting right in front of his face. We heard David Pollack say that Georgia is the best team in college football and they're the new standard. So that's already getting thrown around out there. These Alabama Crimson Tide players have heard it, and I guarantee you, Nick Saban has already been telling these guys, look, they're saying Georgia's the new standard. They're saying Georgia's better than y'all. They're saying we've fallen off. They're saying Alabama's washed up. I guarantee you, Nick Saban is feeding all of those guys that info right about now. He's giving all of those guys that motivation. He's giving all of those guys that soundbite right about now. So, J.C. Latham has been hearing that, I'm sure, for most of the offseason, spring practice, mat drills, all of it. So, I want you guys to just hear everything that he had to say, because, again, he had some good stuff here. So, it is looking like Alabama has been, you know, feeding into what the media is saying. And then we've heard it before that We've heard Nick Saban before say, you know, he doesn't like rat poison, but the rat poison, you know, that he got that one time was yummy. Well, I'm sure this is yummy rat poison that Nick Saban doesn't mind feeding to his players. So let's get to J.C. Latham talking about Georgia being the new standard.
What do you feel like the identity of this Alabama offense is going to be this season?
We're hungry. We're coming for it. Vengeance. We're going to shut everything down. Like, this is not over. Ain't nothing over. Ain't no culture change. Ain't no dynasty over. Like, we setting the tone from the jump on the very first play of the game all the way to the national championship when we're holding that trophy. Like, that's it.
So there you have it. That was actually, I queued up the wrong one. That wasn't the right soundbite, but that was him talking about them being Alabama being hungry and, you know, they're coming, you know, for the crown again and all that good stuff. Let's hear the one I actually wanted to get to real quick, and that is Alabama offensive tackle J.C. Latham talking about if Georgia is the new standard of college football.
I respect the fact that they have one back-to-back. I know that's not easy at all. I see the work that they put in, but in the same time, I don't think that their standard is great. I don't think it's above our standards, though, so I can't.
You guys have a lot of youth.
So there you have it. He said he respects the fact they won two national championships, but obviously, you know, Alabama has their own plans this season. So that was one that I wanted you to hear. The other one that I want you to hear is if he thinks, or if on the loss to UGA 2 years ago still motivates him. And it's interesting because, you know, to think about what still sits with these players, and you hear it all the time from NBA, NFL, college football players, it's not the wins that stick with them. You know, they forget about the wins. It's the losses that stick with them the most. So here's Alabama offensive tackle J.C. Latham talking about if the loss to UGA 2 years ago still motivates him.
Yeah, it definitely motivates me. I've watched that game time and time again. I know our guys, we can compete with them. So just seeing them win just understands, like I'm not disrespecting them at all. I think they deserve to win. They worked really hard, but I know our guys deserve to have that platform as well. And just seeing them take the stage and take the opportunity that we knew was up for grabs that we could have taken. Just fuel to the fire.
Fuel to the fire. There you go. Last one I want you to hear from Alabama offensive tackle J.C. Latham is he's shooting his own shot. He's calling his own shot, and he's calling Alabama's shot. He's saying he knows that this team will go undefeated this year.
I mean, fuel to the fire. It is. I know we're going to go out there, compete, dominate, and do what we have to do to win. And I know we're going to win it all and go undefeated. So whatever anybody outside of our family says, this essentially isn't what matters to us.
Now, what else is he going to say? I mean, he's not going to say, yeah, we're going to go like 14-1. We're still going to make the college football playoff, though, and then we're going to win it all. Or, no, nah, we're going to go 13-3 or whatever and win the college football playoff and barely make it in. This, that, then. I mean, no. You expect him to say, we're going to go undefeated. We're going to handle business. We're going to win a national championship. So that, not very surprising because, I mean, what else would you want the man to say? But I just found it very interesting that, you know, and again, he was only answering the questions that he was asked, but still found it very interesting that he was talking a lot about Georgia. And again, it's to be predicted because Georgia's the big dog right now, and Alabama once was on that mountaintop, and it now seems like, actually it doesn't seem like, Georgia has surpassed them as the best team in college football. Because they have won back-to-back national championships. So it is just very funny how these guys answer certain questions. And I thought, you know, a couple of his answers were a little spicy.
And he also talked about, by the way, that I'm trying to find the quote here that I had for you. But he was basically talking about he respects. Oh, yeah, this is one I played for you earlier. Again, he respects the fact they won back-to-back national championships. I know that's not easy, but at the same time, their standard is not above our standard. That's the one I played for you earlier. So, I mean, look, if you think so, but I mean, right now, we got two in a row, and y'all haven't won one in a minute. So, obviously, and look, I will give them the fact that it doesn't mean their standard or the Georgia standard is necessarily above Alabama standard. But Georgia is the better football team right now. And I don't know if that was necessarily the way to phrase it if you're J.C. Latham, because just saying it in that manner, I believe now, is going to allow Kirby Smart to pin this on the bulletin board and give his guys external motivation. Not that they needed any external motivation, but he's going to put that quote. He's going to put this quote up here. This quote is going to be on the bulletin board. I know that it's not easy, but at the same time, their standard is not above our standard. That quote is going to be on the bulletin board. He's going to be like, you see? You see? You win two national championships back-to-back, and they still don't respect you. So you got to go win a third on their behind. I can see Kirby definitely taking that angle of it. But day three of SEC Media Days obviously went down. Nick Saban spoke. Billy Napier spoke. Obviously, we just played some clips for you from J.C. Latham. So good stuff from SEC Media Days yesterday as Alabama kind of headlined everything. And day four, going down today, by the way, final day of SEC Media Days. And we'll see if anything crazy, any viral trending quotes come about from the final day. It's actually not been that bad thus far. I think this J.C. Latham quote is probably the one that maybe has started circulating the most. But other than that, it's been kind of, I'll never say boring, but it hasn't been the, you know, the viral trending, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe so-and-so said this type of quotes from people. So SEC Media Days is on the final day today. And I just am ready to get really college football season started. This was the official start to college football season. And after hearing Kirby Smart and Nick Saban, Brock Bowers, J.C. Latham, hear those guys speak, I'm ready for them to play right now, honestly. I'm ready for them to go ahead and get it going. But it is going to be interesting to see what Georgia looks like when they get into their SEC schedule. Because, I mean, come on. We're talking about UT Martin and those teams. Like, Georgia's going to dominate. Then really, when it, like, I probably could have been at quarterback and I could just hand the ball off and Georgia would still win. No disrespect, but that's kind of just the truth. And that's kind of just where we're at this point. But day three of SEC Media Days in the books. And now we move to the final day later on this morning. Okay. When we come back, still, no need to panic. I know everybody's concerned. But there is a bright side to this. I'll explain next. It is the Hometown Take, live in the Key Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Hometown Take with Dylan Matthews on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Thank you.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a Thursday morning. I almost said thunder because Thunderstruck is playing. I wanted to say thunder so bad, but with you here on a Thursday morning, hope you are doing well. Almost to the weekend. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game. Follow myself at _ Dylan Matthews as well. And all right, we got to talk about it, y'all. But I don't want there to be any panic about the Atlanta Braves still. These things happen. You go through stretches like this during a 162-game season. There are things that worry you, things that are in the back of your mind, things that may concern you a little bit. But when it comes to the overall, when it comes to the overall vibe around the Atlanta Braves, it's still good. We are 61-33. We are just fine. We're what? Still 9 games up in the NL East? Now, I'm not taking anything for granted, but there needs to be zero worry. Absolutely zero. We're 9.5 games up still in the NL East. By the way, the Phillies have overtaken the Marlins for second place in the division, by the way. Now, Philly is 0.5 game up on the Miami Marlins, just in case you were wondering. But we're still 9.5 games up on the Phillies. So, again, nothing to be too concerned about. But let's go ahead. Let's break it all down. Let's react to it. Let's take a trip around the A.
It's time for a look at our local sports scene. This is Around the A on the Hometown Take with Dylan Matthews.
Braves lose last night. Final score of 5-3 to the Arizona Diamondbacks. Lose their second straight series after winning 11 straight series because they lost game one, obviously, as well. That was that barn-burning 16-13 game on Wednesday night. No, Tuesday night, excuse me, because yesterday was Wednesday. But Braves lose last night by a final score of 5-3. Charlie Morton did not have his best up. We'll hear from him in just a couple of minutes. But the Braves just couldn't get a whole lot going offensively. Had their moments, but just really couldn't get the big hit. With runners in scoring position, they were 0-5. And look, you're not going to win games on a consistent basis if you're not hitting well with runners in scoring position. You were 0-5 with runners in scoring position. That means you have 5 chances that you missed to bring home runs, and you didn't. 5 runs would have obviously won you the game. You only lost by 2. So hitting with runners in scoring position is always key, not just in October when you're playing playoff baseball and not just now when you're trying to get up regular season wins. Hitting with runners in scoring position is a major, major key. One of the most important things when you're talking about trying to win baseball games. And the team went 0-5 last night. So that's part of it. Other part of it is, again, Charlie Morton didn't have his best stuff. 5 2/3 innings. Gave up 6 hits, 4 runs, all of them earned. 3 walks. Only had 4 strikeouts. And we know Charlie is a strikeout pitcher. And when he isn't getting those strikeouts, tends to struggle because that means his ball's getting hit. And when that happens, usually not a great thing because, again, Charlie Morton's not overpowering you with speed. He's using that breaking ball. He's placing the fastball, not necessarily overpowering it. And just didn't have his best stuff last night. And, again, we'll hear from him in a couple of minutes. But Braves, I mean, Acuna, 1-4. Ozzie Albies, 0-4. Austin Riley did have a home run. That was encouraging. Matt Olson, though, 0-2. Sean Murphy, 0-4. Marcell Ozuna, he hit a home run. So, I mean, that was encouraging, too. But just, again, you you got home runs, and that was good, but they were solo shots. And the other thing about it is you didn't hit with runners in scoring position. So they were solo shots, and you didn't hit with runners in scoring position, and that usually doesn't always end up coming out on the right side for the Braves unless you are hitting three, four grand slams, two-run homers, three-run homers, that sort of thing, and your pitching is top-notch, which, again, unfortunately, it wasn't last night. But I want you to hear from Brian Snicker first and foremost because, again, he's telling you what I'm telling you. There's no need to worry. He talks about how we knew this was going to happen. We just didn't know when because, again, just like we knew this team was going to get on a roll, they were going to get hot, they were going to start playing good baseball, we knew that there was going to be a time where they struggled again, where they lost series, where they lost a few games in a row, which they have now. They've lost, what, four games in a row at this point? But Brian Snicker talks about how we knew this was going to happen, we just didn't know when.
Yeah, it's going to happen. Just didn't know when. Knew it was. This thing doesn't run that smooth. Like I said, it doesn't run that smooth all the time. Nobody's ever that fortunate. But you know what? We've given ourselves a chance. I mean, we brought the tying run to the plate again today, and I've seen us do that before. You know, that's kind of like when you're three or four down within a bat left. I always kind of feel good that something's going to good's going to happen, and we got it to that point today.
They did. They had the tying run at the plate, as Brian Snicker talked about, just couldn't get them home, couldn't, again, get those key hits with runners in scoring position, and look, you just lost. And let's not forget the Arizona Diamondbacks again. They are a good team that is fighting for a division title. They're only 1.5 games behind the Los Angeles Dodgers. So they're fighting for stuff too. So they're coming out playing hard, and they were coming into this series on a 4-game losing streak. So they were trying to snap a slump themselves. So the Braves, by the way, have lost 4 in a row now, but that's okay. They're going to get on another run, and Brian Snicker thinks so as well. He says the team's approach and the way they come in, they play consistently every day, and the way they have this consistent approach to the game, it's going to allow them to go on another run.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I don't ever think the guys took anything for granted when we had that unbelievable run. I never thought that. I never thought they let off the pedal. You know, I've always had so much respect for this team and how they prepare and are consistent every day. And I think those traits right there will, you know what, when things go a little rough or whatever, then hopefully it happens tomorrow. It may not. We got a good guy on the mound to try and, you know, turn it around. But if it doesn't, then they'll, you know what, they're going to get ready the next day and make it happen. So, you know, that's the thing. These guys are so consistent in everything they do and their approach to the game that, you know what, they'll be fine, and then they'll reel off something on the back end of it.
They're going to be absolutely fine. They're going to reel off another, hopefully, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 wins in a row. It's just the peaks and valleys of a long, long 162 game baseball season. You're going to lose 4 in a row here and there. You're going to lose a couple of series back to back. And look, if we really want to talk about the bright side, which I told you I would give you, last time this happened where they were struggling a little bit, they lost the first two games. This was right before they got out of that slump and went on this incredible run to end the first half of the season. They lost the first two games to the Oakland Athletics. They won the last game and then, boom, went on their run. They've lost the first two games here to the Arizona Diamondbacks. So, hey, I'm just saying. They win today, 12-21st pitch. Spencer Strider taking on Zach Gallen, which is a very good matchup, by the way. We'll talk about that more in a second. But they win today during the Gentleman's Special. Who knows? Maybe they go on another run. And, look, I think once they get back to their winning ways, shake this off a little bit, they'll be just fine. So don't worry, Braves fans, it's going to be okay. As far as Charlie Morton goes, he talked about his outing yesterday, and he was obviously less than pleased.
The first run that scored, I thought, I don't know, the Longo walk in the sixth, and the Gurriel curveball, and obviously, you know, the last pitch I threw, I just think, you know, I got ahead of Nick and you know, both of those curveballs I meant to throw, and I in my mind I'm thinking, you know, at minimum off the plate away, and I casted both of them. I just threw them wrong. Those two pitches I think were the most frustrating ones of the night, just because, you know, I'm in an okay position in both those counts, and to miss by that much. The one to Nick is like, I literally missed by like 3.5 feet, you know, so that's frustrating. And, you know, I don't know what the outcome is. If, say, I ball both those, they take both of them, who knows? And, you know, but I would hope that in those situations I wouldn't make those pitches. So those two ones are going to be ones that frustrate me for a long time.
So obviously Charlie not happy with his pitch location, missing on his pitches, missing with some of his best pitches. So with that being said, Charlie, is it safe to say you didn't have your best stuff tonight?
No, not at all. I yanked a bunch of heaters. I was throwing across my body. I didn't get a lot of swing and miss on my breaking ball. I didn't get a lot of chase on my breaking ball. Didn't land many cutters. I would say no. I would say that was very average. I would just say that with all of that to factor in, to be in the position where maybe I give up a run or two, maybe if things go my way, to giving up four runs and not even making it out of the sixth inning, that's for me, you know. But no, I would say it's pretty average stuff, pretty average location.
So average stuff last night for Charlie Morton, he says. And again, nights like that are going to happen. Charlie Morton, he's a veteran, but even Charlie, still going to have average nights here and there. Going to get roughed up a little bit here and there. We've seen Spencer Strider go through a rough stretch. Well, guess what? He got out of it. We're seeing Bryce Elder go through a rough stretch now. I'm more than confident he'll get out of it. And Charlie didn't have his best stuff last night. But guess what? He'll come back, and I guarantee you, he'll pitch better. Everything is going to be okay. So for any Braves fans, I'm not saying you are panicking, but for any Braves fan that is panicking, I'm going to hit you with the Aaron Rodgers right now. R-E-L-A-X. Relax. It's all going to be okay. Charlie did talk about, though, how, because he had a couple of two-out walks during last night's game, and he was asked if those two-out walks are the most frustrating thing, and he said no. He had a different answer of what was most frustrating to him last night.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's frustrating because the outcome is a walk, but at the same time, some of those misses were good misses. I'm okay with those misses. Whereas those two curveballs, it's like all I'm doing is basically serving my best pitch up on a platter and saying, here's the worst. These are the worst locations that I could throw this pitch. And I understand why. It's like you look at the walks, you mean, well, those are walks. It's like I get that, but at the same time, those are good misses. I got my best pitch, you know, in good counts, and I just feed it to a guy. I think that's more frustrating than a walk. I mean, because walks happen. They happen. You know, you get out of your delivery a little bit, you get out of your release point a little bit, and they happen. But to be so close in counts that were in my favor, that's more frustrating.
So, Charlie, having counts in his favor, missing on some pitches to maybe get the out there, get out of some trouble, and not delivering the pitches the way he expects and wanted to, most frustrating part to him. So there you have it. Here's Brian Snicker and Charlie Morton talking about the loss last night. Again, Braves lose 5-3, lose their fourth game in a row, second straight series they have lost after winning 11 straight series headed into the All-Star break. Can I tell you this? Right now, the most frustrated thing I have is I'm mad the All-Star break came when it did. Now I wish we wouldn't have the All-Star break, because it seemed the All-Star break really just kind of took all the momentum away from the Atlanta Braves. It's kind of like when an NBA team, we can use the Atlanta Hawks for an example, they're on a nice run right before halftime. They're making everything, making shots, offense is looking good, defense playing well, and they just have a lot of momentum, and then halftime comes like, man, I wish halftime wouldn't have come. Honestly, I wish we could just keep playing. It's kind of like that for the Braves. Halftime came at a bad spot for them. Halftime came when they were just getting cooking, when they were just hot, when they were at their peak, and just kind of sucked the momentum away from them. So, look, they'll bounce back. They'll get into a groove. They'll go on another run, and they'll be okay. And honestly, Another bright side, and this is more for my Braves pessimists out there. Now you don't have to worry about the Braves peaking too early, because guess what? This is definitely not their peak anymore. This is a slump for them, but they'll get out of it and they'll get back to playing very, very good baseball. I have zero, absolutely zero doubts about that. And then Zach Gallen, Spencer Strider, in case you're wondering, on the mound for this afternoon's game. It's a gentleman's special on a getaway day today. That's going to be a fun matchup. Zach Gallen, Spencer Strider, two guys that are probably the two favorites for the NL Cy Young Award. They'll be going at it. So hopefully the Braves offense can get something going, but it will be a tough task against Zach Gallen. But hey, Diamondbacks got their hands full against Spencer Strider this afternoon as well. So that first pitch is at 12:20. Again, Zach Gallen, Spencer Strider, going to match up. Battle of two NL Cy Young favorites, and hopefully the Braves can snap their four-game losing streak this afternoon. But when we get back, I'm ready to say it. I'm ready to make my proclamation. I'll let you know what it is in 5 minutes. Right here on the Hometown Take, live from the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
The top local sports stories
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This used to be my jam in fifth grade. I ain't really know what they were saying for real, obviously, but I just knew that, yeah. Love to be the. This used to be my jam for real. Still is my jam. Takes me back every time I hear it. Those were the good old days back in fifth grade. No cares in the world. When you thought homework was worse than paying bills. Y'all know what I'm saying, but it is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You're tuned into the Hometown Take right now. It's your boy Dylan Matthews. Appreciate you tuning in. By the way, shout out to my guy Max Van Nocke holding it down behind the glass, doing a great job. How you doing this morning, brother?
Doing fantastic. That chocolate chip cookie just made my morning, man. Just gave me an extra kick.
I had to, bro. I had to bring him in this morning. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. You know, your boy gets a little hungry. You know what I'm saying?
You had a whole stash.
I had to, bro. It was necessary this morning, man. It was just absolutely necessary. I got them yesterday because I knew I was going to want them this morning. So I had a couple yesterday, and then I'm not going to lie, that stack may be gone by the time my shift is over.
Do you have a certain routine? Certain now that you obviously you got the early morning shift and whatnot. Do you have a certain thing you got to eat? Do you have usually a time frame you got to eat, or is it just kind of hey, when I'm hungry, I'm gonna eat?
Nah, when I'm hungry, I'm gonna eat. Right. It's kind of the thing, you know. It usually happens around a consistent time. Usually, by the time the morning shift is over, I'm hungry then, but I knock out my work real quick and then I go back to the crib and eat. And so usually by the time I get home. Kind of varies on what time I get home every day, but by the time I get home, I'm ready to eat. I'm hungry. I'm hungry. I'm ready to eat a good meal. So yeah, that's usually it. But whenever I'm hungry, I eat. So that's it there. But I told you before the break, I was ready to make my proclamation. I was ready to make my statement, and that statement is: the Falcons are going to win the NFC South. Point blank, period. You know, I was saying how they could be a wild card. You know, they depend on how everything gels together. But at this point, I'm convinced the Falcons are going to win the NFC South. I am convinced. And I think the secret sauce, honestly, is going to be Bijan Robinson. This offense, with Bijan Robinson as the secret sauce, is going to lead this Falcons team to an NFC South division title this year. Why? Bijan Robinson puts this offense over the top. That's why they got him with the 8th overall pick And that's why they felt it was okay to pass up on the likes of a Jalen Carter or guys of that nature. Because this dude, Bijan Robinson, is going to make a difference. People are going to be like, oh, that's why they drafted Bijan. I really think that. I wholeheartedly believe that. Because we talked about it all offseason long, but this offense has a multitude, an ample number amount of weapons. And Bijan just puts them over the top. We know what Kyle Pitts can do when healthy, and he is healthy. You've seen the videos of him working out, I'm sure. The Falcons have posted it on their own Twitter account. We know what Drake London can do when Desmond Ritter's in there. And just to be 1,000% honest and completely real with you, Drake London was more of a factor when Desmond Ritter was the quarterback than Marcus Mariota. That's just what it was. That's just what it is. Mac Hollins, I think, is going to be a piece that really is going to be that unsung hero of the season. He's giving me that vibe. He can go in the slot. He's versatile, but he can also win matchups on the outside as well. But I think he if they play him in the slot at all, which I think they will, I think he's going to be a nightmare in the slot. With his size, his speed, I think he's going to be a mismatch for any nickel corner out there. But again, he's going to win matchups on the outside too. Don't get me wrong at all. Scotty Miller is going to be a nice deep threat. And then Cordell Patterson too. Let's not forget about him. He's going to take some reps at running back. But he is also going to be a threat as a receiver. He's also going to be a possible threat in the slot. And he's going to win a lot of matchups there too. He's big, so you're not worried about him, not overly worried about him taking hits over the middle because you know he can take it. Got a nice, strong frame. But then he's explosive too. And they'll use him a lot this year, I think, more so in that Deebo Samuel role where he's getting a lot of reps at receiver, getting a couple reps at running back, but also you're going to see him a lot of swing plays, a lot of sweeps, maybe some screens. They're going to have Cordell Patterson all over the place. We know Tyler Algier can catch passes out of the backfield. They traded for Jonnu Smith, who is going to be a dangerous, dangerous weapon at tight end as well. We can't forget about that because if you guys remember, when the Patriots got him, I mean, it was like, oh my gosh, the Patriots got Jonnu Smith, what? But then he goes into an anemic offense, just to be completely honest, that the Patriots were. And now that he's getting traded to Atlanta, they're like, oh, Jonnu Smith, okay, whatever. No, Jonnu Smith in the right offense, when he doesn't have former defensive coordinator Matt Patricia calling plays, for crying out loud, when he actually has a competent play caller who knows how to scheme him and use him in the right ways, he is going to be very, very effective this season. Because we know Arthur loves his tight ends, and he knows how to use them and scheme stuff up for him as well. So we're going to see a lot of twin tight end sets with Pitts and Jonnu Smith. But guess who I failed to mention? Bijan Robinson. He just puts it over the top. He's like that cherry on top. It's like, are you serious, that too? Yes. Because when Bijan's in the game, you have to have multiple eyeballs on him. And then don't let this man go into motion or be in the slot because, oh, that is really going to get real for opposing teams. So if you have, I mean, when Kyle Pitts, Bijan, Drake London, Mac Hollins, Cordell Patterson, when they're all in there at the same time, what are you going to do as an opposing defense? Because you double-team Kyle Pitts, that's not good for whoever is one-on-one with Drake London. You double-team Drake London, I mean, it's basically over with. Kyle Pitts is scoring on that play. Bijan, you got to look out for him in the slot because we know he can break off and make something into nothing and turn anything into an explosive play. Cordell Patterson, we know by his kick returning abilities that he can turn nothing into something, and he's a big play threat as well. So there's just so many weapons. And don't get me wrong, I think this defense is going to be much improved. I think this defense is going to help this football team win games. Jesse Bates, A.J. Terrell, hopefully Jeff Okuda is more like the third overall pick in 2020. And hopefully he can stay healthy, because I think that's really the big thing for him, staying healthy. Grady Jarrett is going to get a lot of help from David Onyemata. That's going to pay dividends to the pass rush. Bud Dupree, Lorenzo Carter is going to ball out. Bud Dupree, I think, is going to ball out. Arnold Ebiketie, hopefully, can have a little bit of a breakout year in year two, or a lot of a breakout year in year two. So I think this defense is going to be improved. But I think with Arthur Smith calling the plays, scheming things up, we know what he can do with the run game. But I think he takes this passing game to a whole nother level this year as well, with Desmond Ridder at the helm and all these weapons he has to game plan with, and all these weapons he's going to have at his disposal. And the things that he's going to be able to come up with schematically is going to be scary for opposing teams. So I was just thinking about that yesterday. I was like, you know what? I'm ready to make my proclamation. The Falcons are going to win the NFC South. And look, the Saints are going to be okay probably as long as Derek Carr plays well. They got some good weapons. But we don't know what Alvin Kamara is going to do. We don't know the situation he's going to be in. Is he going to get suspended? Michael Thomas, I mean, he's healthy now. And look, I'm not wishing injuries upon anybody, but look at the tape. Look at his record. When's the last time he played a full season? You banking on Michael Thomas being healthy for the whole year? Maybe. I don't know. But and with Chris Olave, if they can stay healthy, yeah, they're going to be a little bit of a threat. But who knows with Michael Thomas. And the Panthers have a good defense, but I got to see Bryce Young prove it first. Rookie quarterback, first year, starting right away. I think the defense, specifically the Falcons defense, will be able to make Bryce Young make some mistakes. So we'll see. And then Tampa, you know, Baker Mayfield, Kyle Trask, I'm sorry. Like, I'm not convinced. They have some good pieces still. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, but quarterback play is everything, and I'm not sure they have the right quarterbacks at the helm. So that's my proclamation. The Falcons are winning the NFC South. I've convinced myself of such, and I hope I've convinced you, Falcons fans. You know what doesn't need convincing? You don't need me to tell you that the morning shift is good. But they are coming up next. I will tell you that. Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, Tiffany Blackman, they're going to tell you what they got on tap. We'll hand things off to them when we come back right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.